listening to the Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals, the junior mining sector, and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roy Byrne.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Daily Gold Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today on this episode, I have with me JC Peretz of AllStarCharts.com. He's also a fund manager, founder of Eagle Bay Capital. And JC, actually, this morning he posted, is it time to buy gold again? No. That's the title of his post. There's a handful of charts. We'll link it when we get this posted. JC, I mean, I do want to talk about gold. I also want to talk about a few other markets. I'm just thinking, do I want to start with gold or the other markets? Well, we'll start with gold. So it generally seems to me that to sum it up, your view on gold is basically, at best neutral, at worst it's going lower, maybe a lot lower potentially. Can you expand upon that?
I think, you and I have known each other for years, right? We respect each other's work. You're a chartered market technician, and myself as well. So we know each other's backgrounds, in terms of, how we've been trained, right? So I respect the work that you've put in to get to where you were at. So I think we see eye to eye in a lot of ways, just because of the way we're trained, right? One of the things that I pride myself on is that I don't care where the market goes. I don't care if the S&P 500 doubles or gets cut in half. I don't care if gold doubles or goes to zero. I really don't care at all, right? And that's really how I live my life every day, approaching the marketplace with a very open mind, right? I don't care if I make money shorting gold or if I make money buying gold or shorting Microsoft or buying Microsoft. It doesn't matter to me at all. The dollars are still green, right? So that I want to make perfectly clear. And like I said, you've known me for a while. You remember last January when I was pounding the table to buy anything and everything in the precious metals market. But our upside objectives were hit last summer, in the summer of 2016. So there's been no reason to be long ever since then. We had a very well-defined risk versus reward opportunity in January of 2016 to enter the precious metals market very aggressively. And we were right, and then we got out in the summer, right? So it's really just been a waiting game, and the question is really, okay, does this consolidation that we've seen in precious metals resolve higher, or is it going to resolve lower? And I think at this point, there's not really enough information to, make have any sort of conviction in either direction. So what's wrong with neutral?
Okay, I hear that. I guess I saw you tweet something. I don't know if it was a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, where you were kind of had a thought that maybe gold stocks were, there was some similarity between the way they were acting and the way the stock market acted after that Great Depression bottom, where it had a huge move up and then it retraced most of that move before it really took off. Not to say that gold stocks are going to do the exact same thing, but something I've been thinking about is, looking at the technicals, they're obviously negative of the sector. I think we're going to trade lower. I could be wrong. But, how does that factor in? The fact that we had this epic bear market, 85% in juniors, almost 80% in seniors. How does that factor in? Do you look at, say, well, these could go lower, but we don't want to get too bearish because we just had this massive bear market? And also, there's also the possibility where maybe it consolidates for a while. I know I'm throwing a lot of things out here, but I guess how does that factor in that we just got out of a very long and nasty bear market in gold stocks? Is it just a situation where this could continue to be a mess and you're just going to have to be patient and really wait for a while before?
Well, I think the answer comes down to defining your time horizon. I can make a valid argument that we're still in a strong bear market in precious metals, right? And that hasn't changed. And what we saw in the first half of last year was a counter trend rally. We get those. In fact, the strongest rallies in markets in general, not just gold, but stocks, everything, are in bear markets. I mean, you look at the at the history of the U.S. stock market, for example. The biggest gains ever came, you know, in the fall of 2008 when we were right in the middle of a terrible crash. So the fact that we got that rip your face off rally in the first half of 2016 really just brought us back to the downtrend line in gold and silver stocks, going back to the 2011 highs. Right, if you're looking at the PHLX gold silver index, right, the XAU, we're still in that downtrend. So, you know, it really is a factor, and that's not just in precious metals. I can make that argument, you know, in every market. It really is determining your time horizon, right? So if you're a short-term trader, a swing trader, and if you're an, even if you're an intermediate-term guy like myself who looks out weeks and months, last year was a tremendous opportunity to make a lot of money, right? But it's been dead. It's been complete garbage ever since last summer. Anything in the precious metal space, except for maybe a few royalty companies that are, you know, certainly showing some relative strength. But even those aren't doing that great, right? So, you know, was last year the bottom? Maybe. I think it's too early to tell. I still think that we are in a structural bear market in precious metals, and that hasn't changed. So if and when it does, I'm happy to get on the long side. I'm happy to get on the long side in something like last year where we can get a counter trend rally. I have no problem doing that. But I think it's important to recognize that we're still in a structural bear market and that has not changed. And I think that the only remedy here is likely time, right? If this is the beginning of a new secular uptrend, we still need time to fix the damage that has been to repair the damage that has been done in that market. So at the very best case scenario, you're sitting in dead money. The worst case scenario is that we roll over again and make new lows, which is, you know, I'm not going to disagree with you. I would say it's probably the higher likelihood outcome.
You're saying I think we could see new lows in the metals. I'm just throwing out my opinion. I don't see it happening in the stocks.
I guess we'll see. You know, we're in a beautiful downtrend below a downward sloping 200-day moving average. I mean, this is we're making lower lows, lower highs. I mean, that's the definition of a downtrend. So until that changes, I see little reason to get cute and think that we're going higher. I'm actually looking, you know, if you look at the XAU, I'll pull it up right now and give you the exact levels just for our readers. Actually, I already pointed it out. The exact levels are 78 in the XAU. So if we are below 78 in the XAU, I think you can be short precious metals across the board. I think that's the tell. It's been the tell. It was the tell at the bottom in January last year. You know, you had a beautiful bearish momentum divergence last summer. Nasty failed breakouts. I think that's the tell. If we're below 78 in the XAU, short them all.
Fair enough. All right, let's move
and
on.
And if we're above that, we stay neutral, right? What's wrong with that?
Right. Well, thanks for that caveat.
It's true, right? I don't know is a valid answer as well, right? You don't always have to be all in bullish with so much conviction or all in bearish with so much conviction. How about I don't know? I'd rather be somewhere else. What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing's wrong with that, but you know, you've done a lot of financial media, and they like to, most of the time, they like to have a strong opinion one way or another.
I couldn't agree more, and I think you nailed it. I think you're absolutely right, and the fact that I've done so much financial media, every single network, I know the way the sausage is made. I know why it's so bad. I know why nobody watches, right? It's I think you nailed it. You know, they're looking for their goals are to sell advertising. Their goals are not to make money in the market, right? And that's where that disgusting conflict of interest comes into play, which I really can't get past, right? But the fact that I've done so much financial media, I understand how the sausage is made. I understand the conflicts of interest. So as a market participant, not someone trying to sell ads, someone who's just trying to make money in the market, I don't know. I'd rather be somewhere else. Look at the S&P 500 making all-time highs. Why am I going to mess with this garbage that's still in a downtrend when you have tech breaking out to all-time highs, consumer discretionaries, you've got financials finally breaking out now. You know, you've got tech. You know, why am I going to mess with underperformers? Why am I going to get cute? For what?
Well, let's get into that, because talking about the equity markets, and we'll start with the U.S. equity market, because I don't see, you may disagree, I personally don't see precious metals really being reignited until the next bear market in equities, at least in U.S. equities. And so, I mean, what's your view, your big picture view on U.S. equities? How much more, I mean, how much longer can this this bull market that we've had, I mean, how much longer can it run? And at what point do you, I know I'm drowning on here, but at what point do you say to yourself, you know, the valuations are extreme and this thing has been going up for 9 years. You know, at what point do you say the charts may look good, but, you know, this is a little extended and there's too much risk here?
Well, two things. If I ever use the word valuation to justify a decision in the market, just punch me in the face as hard as you can. That's number one. Number two, so no, I don't look at valuation. Number two, the market has not gone up for 9 years. I would argue the market bottomed last year, and this is we're in a new bull market. I don't think I think it's irresponsible to suggest that stocks have been going up for 9 years. I couldn't disagree more. Emerging markets peaked in 2011 and got absolutely destroyed for 5 years. So to suggest that the market was up in that environment is wrong. We've had multiple 20-30% corrections since 2009. So no, I don't think the market is frothy. I don't think that it's one of those scenarios where we've been going up so long. I think we just started going up.
Okay. Well, but here's the one issue with that. The economic cycle, we have not had a recession, and so we're still in this very long economic cycle. So I hear what you're saying, and I mean it's hard to disagree with that on a technical basis, but if you look at the economic cycle, there's been no recession, so we're still in the same cycle. I mean, yeah, it can continue for, I mean, who knows, but I think that is the more important point than the semantics of, oh, was 2011 a bear? Was 2015 or 2016 a bear? So I think that's also something, you know, that was part of my question.
Sure, and I'll defer to you when it comes to economic policies and whatnot. It's not something that I find any value in. You know, I'm a price guy. I care about the market. What the economic implications might be of market moves is not really my concern. I'll leave that up to economists. You know, that's what they're not trying to make money in the market. They're just trying to look at economics, and that's fine. I don't see what a recession has to do with cycles, right? I think we had a beautiful rally off the 2009 lows. Equities, risk assets overall, you know, exploded higher. That quickly peaked a few years later. Most markets around the world got destroyed. Europe down 30%, emerging markets murdered. Since 2014, energy absolutely collapsed, got destroyed. Small caps, mid caps, all had their cycles. Whether there were economic implications from the ends and beginnings of those cycles or not, I have no idea. I mean, I would defer to you. But strictly from a price perspective and from a sector rotation perspective, from a supply and demand standpoint, we had a very bad bear market for many years. And some people refuse to accept that. I acknowledge it. I recognize it. I traded through it. I invested through it. And it happened, right? So, you know, I can make an argument that the new bull market started in 2013 when the S&P 500 exceeded those 2000 and 2007 highs. I think that's a valid argument. You can also make an argument that the market didn't bottom until last summer when interest rates finally made their lows, when European banks finally made their lows. You know, while some emerging markets and Latin America and things like that had already made their lows in the first quarter, there were still other markets around the world that still hadn't bottomed. So, you know, you can make an argument that we're still in the first year of a bull market in equities. And so I think we're young. And with respect to whether gold can go up or down, you know, I don't necessarily think that there's such a strong negative correlation like that. I don't disagree. Like if U.S. equities collapse from here, you know, gold is likely to benefit. I could see that scenario. So I don't necessarily disagree. But I don't think that you necessarily need a collapse for gold to do well. In fact, you know, last January when the U.S. stock market bottomed, precious metals bottomed with it, and they all rallied together. So I could totally see a scenario where gold can do well in this environment also. But when you're comparing one to the other, if you mentioned the post that I put out this morning on allstarcharts.com, check it out. You know, I put in the gold versus S&P 500 ratio, and it's a beautiful downtrend. And it looks like this consolidation that we've seen in that ratio, this is S&P gold relative to S&P 500. You know, we've been consolidating for, a year and a half, couple of years now. It probably resolves lower in the direction of the underlying trend, right?
Okay. Now looking at the S&P 500, I mean, are you concerned with the current divergences as far as the stocks that are, I mean, I'm looking at the NYSE and there's clear downtrends in the stocks trading above the 200-day and above the 50-day. Is that not really a concern for you at this point?
No, it's not at all. You know, I've never found that indicator to be good to the upside in terms of, you know, finding overbought conditions. Those sorts of indicators tend to be much, much better at bottoms, right? So in terms of the top, no, that's not any of my concern. What I was concerned with in the equities market, which is why we got so neutral at the beginning of March, at the end of February, was because we were seeing a deterioration in market breadth, right? At those new highs in March, we were seeing fewer stocks making new 52-week highs. We were seeing a decline in the advanced decline line. We were seeing fewer stocks with bullish momentum characteristics also deteriorating. You know, we saw the equal weight versus cap weight index rolling over as well. All of those divergences really were enough red flags for me, not to mention that this was all happening as our upside objectives were being hit, right? Because we came into the year so bullish. So I called it quits, said take profits, let's get out of this market in at the end of February, early March. And we've really consolidated beautifully. And over the last couple of weeks, I've really turned bullish, particularly from an internal standpoint, right? You mentioned a couple of breadth measures, but there's something to be said with actually doing the work yourself and going through all 500 stocks in the S&P 500 on both weekly and daily timeframes. That's 1,000 charts, and I do this once a week. So by going, and I do this sector by sector. So first I go to energy, and I look at all the energy stocks on weekly and daily. Then I look at consumer discretionaries, every consumer discretionary on weekly and daily. So I go sector by sector until I get to 1,000 charts, and any deterioration that you might see in an index has certainly been resolving through time. And I got to tell you, there's a lot more good out there than bad. So, you know, when you hear that only a few names are leading the market higher, I think that's just simply wrong. I think that there's broad-based participation.
Okay, let's talk about emerging markets and the rest of the world, because, I mean, you sound pretty optimistic on U.S. markets, and I know that you've been more optimistic on foreign markets. So you must be really optimistic on foreign markets now.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's amazing because we have seen such an outperformance out of the U.S. equities market, particularly since 2011, right? Just tremendous outperformance versus Europe, versus Japan, versus emerging markets, like you said, especially versus Latin America, which has been garbage, right? So This tremendous outperformance out of the S&P 500 is something that a lot of us have grown accustomed to, right? I have a lot of friends in New York City. I speak to them. They tell me what their clients are asking them. Their clients, you know, came into this year asking them to get them out of the rest of the world and allocate more assets into the S&P 500. Funny how that happens. We have seen breakouts across the board in recent months in Europe relative to the U.S., in Japan relative to the U.S., in emerging markets relative to the U.S. So if you look at the ACWI, the All-Country World Index, and take out the U.S., so the ACWI ex-U.S. versus the S&P 500, also breaking out. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I think that this rotation out of U.S. and into global equities is something that is new, and I think is something that is likely here to stay.
Yeah, and what I mean, I guess, circling back to precious metals, I mean, another small thing that would concern me is typically when the rest of the world is outperforming the U.S., I mean, that should be good for precious metals. In addition to, I mean, you've probably noticed the dollar's been really weak lately, but precious metals are still trading below their 200-day moving averages. I mean, are those additional reasons to be, you know, on the sidelines or bearish with respect to precious metals, in your view?
The fact that a weak even in front of a weak dollar, it can't catch a bid?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with that, right? You know, I think you make a valid point. You know, the dollar's getting destroyed and gold can't catch a bid. Like, you know, there's something the market is telling us something, you know. Listen, I don't have any short positions on right now in precious metals. I look forward to putting them on. I think they'll make money. You know the levels that I'm watching, and I think they do break. And if they break, I'll get short. And if they don't, we'll stay neutral.
Let me. If you don't mind, can you for our audience? Can you mention those levels that you're looking
at? Yeah, I think it's very the leading indicator that I'm watching right now for precious metals is the Philadelphia Gold Silver Index, the XAU, right? The Philly Gold Silver Index.
Right, yeah.
So I'm looking at 78.
So that's the recent low.
So
you would short that. You wouldn't short the ETFs, GDX or GDXJ. Do you not follow those as much?
No, I would use that as the vehicle probably, right? Right, so I would use, so we look at the S&P 500. You know, I guess you could trade the S&P 500, but I'm using it as an analytical vehicle, right? Same thing with the XAU. You know, I don't even think you could trade it, right? I don't even think there's a way to trade it. It's just an index. So yeah, the way to trade it would be through the GDX. And I guess, you know, if you're gonna, you know, hold me to a number, you know, that 21 and change, right? Those lows from March look like a good bet. You know, if we're below that, just stay short. You know, momentum's in a bearish range. We're below downward sloping 200-day moving averages. I mean, this is not an uptrend in any way that you can possibly define it. And it comes within the context of a structural downtrend, right? So not only are we not in an uptrend, we've been in a downtrend. So this is nothing new. So as we know as technicians, right, consolidations tend to resolve in the direction of the underlying trend, right? And in this case, the underlying trend is obviously down. You know, one chart that I think really stands out is Newmont. Let me know if you agree on that. But Newmont, for me, you know, really tells the story. I mean, this is the big mama of them all, right? And, you know, a beautiful consolidation below a downward sloping 200-day moving average. You know, if it breaks the uptrend line from those November lows, I think that's all she wrote. And she's probably going down to the low 20s.
Why don't you pull up, because the other bellwether would be Barrick ABX. Why don't you pull up that if you can and give us your thoughts on that, how that factors in.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit stronger than Newmont, but, you know, still the same characteristics. Trading below downward sloping 200-day moving average, that gap lower in Barrick at the end of April is disgusting. You know, it looks like a breakaway gap to me. You know, you could draw an uptrend line from the December lows in Barrick. You know, you could just stay short Barrick if we're below 17.5, you know, 17.25, just stay short. Yeah, it's probably going lower.
Okay, now before I let you go, JC, can you give me your view on bonds and interest rates? Because, I mean, I, with respect to precious metals, I watch, you know, you'll probably scoff at this, but I do look at fundamentals because real interest rates are the fundamental driver, at least negative or declining real interest rates are the fundamental driver for precious metals. And the great thing is that's something we can chart. We can look at that in a chart. You know, we can look at inflation. Well, you can't really chart that. But, I mean, you can look at commodities as a proxy for inflation, and you can also look at bonds and bond yields, you know, because that's interest rates right there. So what do you see in interest rates right now?
You know, it's interesting, right, because, you know, we rallied off those lows and, you know, we were short bonds the entire second half of last year, great trade, and then our targets were hit, right? So then it's like, okay, now what? And it's really been just a hot mess all year. You know, it's not a secret. You know, a few things, and this is the stuff I lose sleep over, Jordan. You know, I'm a dork like that. You know, this is my kind of stuff. So I've been giving this a lot of thought. You know, what I find interesting, I look at the sentiment data, And I see right now everyone just so bullish of bonds, just super, super bullish bonds based on all of the sentiment data that I get, which I find interesting. Then you've got the commercial hedgers who 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, had the largest long position in bonds ever. Okay. And now they're back to neutral very, very quickly. So that's really interesting. So you have the smartest money as the biggest bond bulls of all time covering so quickly. That I find interesting. The fact that everyone's bullish of bonds in terms of my sentiment data is interesting. And that leads me to believe that the higher probability outcome here is higher interest rates. You know, that's really, you know, that what I see. I'm not short bonds. So to me, it's in the similar world as precious metals. It's just kind of just a hot mess. But if I need to be in the bond market, which I don't, just like I don't need to be in precious metals, I'd probably be short bonds. I think we're going higher in rates in all likelihood. You know, we'll see. You know, if I had more conviction, I'd have a position on, right? If I had more conviction in precious metals, I'd have a position on, but I don't in either. So it's one of those things where I have a lot more conviction in other markets, particularly in the equities markets. You know, you talk about, how strong the market is, but, you know, people often refer to the S&P 500 just breaking out to new highs. What about the FTSE 100 in London breaking out of an 18-year base? What about the German DAX just breaking out now above the 2015 highs? These are two of the most important stock markets on planet Earth, and particularly the London FTSE 100 just now breaking out of an 18-year base. It's hard to be bearish equities as an asset class in that sort of environment.
Well said, well said. Some tough medicine for precious metals, bulls and gold bugs alike, but they got to hear it.
I really want to reiterate. I love the fact that you have me on. I know that you have a lot of gold investors as your audience, and don't misconstrue my enthusiasm for any sort of hate. You know, I'm literally just telling it like it is. And you remember last January, I was on the gold bug train, with all of you, and I had a ball. And I look forward to buying precious metals with all the gold bugs all over the world one day again. I really do look forward to it, but that's it's not today.
All right. Well, thank you for that. When you're thinking about getting back on that train, please let me know so we can have you come on again. Before I let you go, last thing, tell our listeners where they can find your work, how they can subscribe to your research service.
Sure. AllStarCharts.com, started off as just a humble blog, back in 2010. I was looking at a lot of charts. I had things to say, and I figured, why not? And I'm lucky that, that turned into, really one of the biggest technical analysis research companies in the world, almost by accident. So I'm very fortunate, and I recognize that, that I have such a following and just loyal audience around the world. But precious metals have always been a passion of mine. I think it was a lot to do with my predecessors, people like Luis Yamada, Alan Shaw, who have really focused on precious metals, used them as denominators to value certain assets and things like that. So I had a lot of influence in the precious metals markets early in my career. So I've always had a passion. My suggestion to you, go to allstarcharts.com/chartbook. So allstarcharts.com/chartbook, and you can see all of the precious metals charts that I share with our research subscribers. And there are hundreds of precious metals charts, all sorts of ratios, some indexes that I've created on my own, some equally weighted stuff, interesting ratios. So allstarcharts.com/chartbook, and just go to gold and you can see the entire list there. And I encourage anyone listening, join us. You can cancel at any time. It's a 30-day risk-free trial, so nobody has anything at all to lose. And I think at the very least, maybe you'll learn something. So I think it's worth it for everyone.
Alrighty. On that note, JC, thanks so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. Look forward to having you back again soon.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Jordan. And hopefully next time I have some nicer things to say.
Thank you for tuning into the Daily Gold Podcast. For more interviews, editorials, and analysis, log on to thedailygold.com. And for premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.